and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of September 28th, 2022. Currently, the global carbon dioxide levels are 415.22 parts per million, and there are 2,652 days left until the year 2030. So, Joe Manchin folded. The bad guy for climate hawks over the last 18 months or so asked Chuck Schumer to pull his side deal from any current legislation. It's a victory for climate hawks, I think. In particular, the people who called and wrote, all the grassroots organizations that pushed to have that bill, who objected to that bill. We'll talk about what that bill was, if you're unfamiliar, in a minute. But I think it's important to set a context, to understand why this whole thing came up and what's going on. It's important that to know that this is, I think, kind of a leading edge issue in climate stuff, what we're going to talk about. And no one has all the answers just yet, but we can begin to get a grounding in what the important issues are. So the context for a lot of what all the back and forth over the Manchin side deal is the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed in August. And similarly, the Massachusetts roadmap, which has a lot of similarities in terms of context. The predicate for a lot of climate work nowadays is the idea that everything needs to be electrified. What does that mean? To electrify everything, let's just begin by saying, well, okay, one thing to do is to electrify your car. You should, you know, we all want to try to get to a place where we are driving electric vehicles instead of internal combustion engines, right? That's the electrification of personal transport. We've talked a lot about the electrification of cooking, right? Which is now, you know, instead of using gas to cook your, fry your egg, you're going to use an induction hot plate, which, trust me, is great. Electrifying everything in the building space pushes us to think about using heat pumps, which are, of course, driven by electricity, instead of methane, natural gas heating systems that are quite common nowadays. So we need to electrify everything. And, of course, one of the important things to know about that is we're not just electrifying one. I mean, we need lots more electricity over what we're producing now. So in terms of electrifying everything, there are two additional ideas that you need to think about. One is that we need to generate lots more electricity, right? Generation means solar panels, wind turbines, right? How do we generate electricity that in a clean, non-carbon polluting way? Second big idea floating around in this electrify everything world is that we somehow need to have an upgraded grid that gets the electricity from the wind turbine or your solar panel to your home, to your induction plate, right? I mean, if we think about in Massachusetts, wind turbines offshore, right? We need to route that power into this, onto the land. If we think about, we brag about how much wind there is in North Dakota, we can put a lot of wind turbines out there, but somehow that power has to get from North Dakota to Chicago somehow, right? So transmission and essentially upgrading the national electrical grid so we can get the clean power from one place to another is important. And that is also an enormous job. We need lots more transmission lines. Okay. So electrification of everything drives us to think about generating more electricity and transporting more electricity. Here in Massachusetts, there's thing we've talked about in the past is that Massachusetts wants to use hydroelectricity from Hydro-Quebec, but needs a transmission line that would come down through Maine in order to get the electricity from Quebec down to down to Massachusetts. And of course, that's all, we've talked about that. There's a whole backstory there. But that's just an example of some of the challenges here. At a national level, we need transmission lines in all the associated grid stuff. We need these transmission lines across the country, right? This needs an interstate transmission system. And that basically calls for federal planning about things, okay? But once you start saying you want to build big transmission lines, what you move into the next level down, right? So just to review, we've got electrify everything. Electrification of everything means we need to generate lots more electricity, and then transmit lots more electricity. If we talk about transmitting lots more electricity, then we need to build high voltage lines across the country. And that brings us into something called permitting, right? What's permitting? Permitting of transmission lines typically means, you know, someone's got to plan it, think about what's going to happen. You know, essentially someone owns it and wants to build it. Somehow the financing for the thing has to be there. And there has to be an environmental review. So since the 1970s, there was something called the National Environmental Protection Act, NEPA, N-E-P-A. And that's where you get a call for things like environmental impact statements and where ordinary people can object to the construction of some infrastructure. Okay. So the community input to these things comes in through the NEPA, the National Environmental Protection Act, in terms of permitting. Okay. One other interesting factoid to keep in mind is that for the last 100 years, all of this permitting process has been aimed primarily at oil and gas infrastructure, hence the Keystone Pipeline, the Mountain Valley Pipeline, the MVP. There's all kinds of fossil fuel-based infrastructure that's gone through this and being trying to be pushed through this permitting process, part of which involves the environmental impact statements. And of course, the whole point for environmentalists has been to somehow blockade the construction of these unwanted infrastructure projects and force them to take a long time. And that's been a successful technique for decades. But right now, both the fossil fuel industry and, it's fair to say, clean energy advocates are frustrated by the fact that the permitting process, for reasons we can get into, is kind of screwed up. Takes a long time. And if we need to build lots more transmission lines to get that newly generated clean energy from one place to another, from North Dakota to Chicago, we need to somehow reform, in quotation marks, that permitting process to make it more, to make it happen faster. Right? Okay. So that's some of the background. That's some of the background, right? We have from a climate perspective side, we have a need to generate and transmit lots and lots of electricity. Fossil fuel people are mad because they can't build their favorite pipeline. We'll get back to Joe Manchin's favorite pipeline called the Mountain Valley Pipeline, right, which would cross West Virginia, Pennsylvania, do a lot of environmental damage, yada, yada, yada. Okay? So that's some context. You probably also, now we get to the Manchin side deal that got shelved this week. Right? So as part of the devil's bargain that was made to pass the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, that we're all justly proud about, right? The IRA passed in late July or early August, right? Part of that was a promise that Chuck Schumer made to Joe Manchin that he would put forward a companion bill, and he would attach that companion bill to something that just had to pass, like funding the government. He would attach that little thing to this must-pass legislation. In that must-pass legislation were basically two components. One was Joe Manchin's desire to support fossil fuel industry, and essentially what he was asking is that the NEPA, the environmental review process I mentioned before, be truncated from 5 years down to 6 months, right? Basically to deny input from the local communities to object to things like pipelines. Right? He wanted to get that off the table. He also wanted Congress to just by mandate say that the Mountain Valley Pipeline should be built. Forget everything you've said before, all the court rejections, all the environmental impact statements. Congress says, build the MVP. We're going to just do it. Okay, that's one side of the side deal that Joe Manchin wanted. The other side was more attractive to climate hawks, because what the other side of the deal did was to say that FERC, the Environmental Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, would basically have the authority to do more planning to promote the construction of interstate pipelines, interstate transmission lines, which is what climate hawks want, right? And that FERC would be able to allocate the costs to just to cut through all of the difficulty in slowing down of the construction of the permitting process so that we can get these new transmission lines in time to get the clean electricity to where it's needed, right? So this was a terrible sort of Faustian bargain presented by Manchin, right, in order to get the IRA bill passed. And we just put it on a side note how sad it is that even to this day, the fossil fuel industry can extract their pound of flesh, right, for doing the right thing, which is to build the transmission lines. They want permission to do ugly, polluting things, bad, bad things. Anyway, due to a combination of factors, I guess some GOP senators were still mad at Manchin's double dealing, or considered a double dealing last summer, but primarily because green activists, grassroots activists, raised holy heck about not having this bill passed. Why do the activists object to the Manchin bill, even though it had this good thing about building transmission lines? Well, the bill gutted the input from people. And when we say people here, there's some NIMBYism that opposes construction of these big projects. But a lot of the problem is that environmental justice communities are targeted by the fossil fuel industry because they're politically unpowerful to build their junk, right? And so changing the environmental review process basically meant cutting out of the process environmental justice communities. And that was bad, right? Anyway, Manchin pulled his bill, which is, I think, net good, right? But both sides of the bill are dead. The changes to the environmental protection, the NEPA, is off the table for the moment. But so is the ability to build transmission lines more quickly. So that leaves us, you know, what's next? Where do we go now? Well, obviously, from a climate perspective, what we want is a bill that does not facilitate the construction of fossil fuel infrastructure like the Mountain Valley Pipeline and all the other stuff in Cancer Alley in Louisiana, right? We want to stop the construction of fossil fuel-based infrastructure, but we want to encourage the construction of transmission lines for electricity. That's the big enchilada here, the transmission lines for electricity, but that has to be done in a way that incorporates legitimate input and gets the informed consent of all the communities that are affected by such a thing. Right? That's really the heart of the matter. How do you build this new infrastructure in an equitable way? And I think from my so from what I've been able to see, you know, put up a couple links of the discussion. It seems to me that the things that are most that slow down, the things that frustrate all of the developers, be they fossil fuel or clean energy developers, the thing that frustrates them is slow response from the agencies like the Department of Interior, because the Department of Interior does not have enough people to do a good job evaluating the projects. So one of the things that needs to happen going forward is that we need to have more capacity at a place like the Bureau of Land Management to make these decisions and do a good job of thinking about whether or not a particular project should be built. Since we also need a national plan, right? We need to start thinking big about how we're going to get electricity from one place to another. And certainly a lot of people are working on that. There are a lot of academics thinking about how to plan this stuff out. But at the federal level, and I would say FERC, needs to begin to think about how are we going to connect the generation of clean electricity to the use of clean electricity with these big transmission lines that might run for hundreds of miles. And thirdly, the way to, I think, make the approval process faster is maybe counterintuitively saying that upfront there should be much more honest, open dialogue with the communities involved, right? Everyone should have a good faith say in what these proposals are so that the society can make the equitable choice. I think that to date, even now, the suppression of local voices, there's a place in Louisiana called Cancer Alley, right, which is huge fossil fuel plants built up and down the Mississippi River, very high cancer rates, very poor populations, right? Those people didn't have an honest input into whether or not they wanted a fossil fuel project near their home, right? So that reforming the NEPA project to include those voices early on and find out what's really rational, paradoxically, I think, would cut down on the court cases that challenge the decision and slow everything down for years. I mean, that's just me. But that seems like a way forward. So Representative Raul Grijalda from New Mexico has a reform of the NEPA that focuses on input from environmental justice communities, which I think is the right way to go. And so moving forward, I mean, in summary, what we've got is that there's a recognition now among climate activists that we need lots and lots of clean energy generation, lots and lots of clean energy transmission, that we need to think about ways to build that infrastructure that forthrightly, honestly, and with integrity, do it equitably and include the voices of all the people that are involved. And that's the mission going forward. That's what we need to be pushing for in the Senate and at the federal level. So there you go. What I'll do is I'll put up some links to some of the stuff that we just talked about. It'll be on the blog at massclimateaction.org. Go press the banner, it's newsletter and more. Pull down blog and podcast. We're hiding in there. If you have an idea, send us a letter, an idea of what we should be talking about, send us a note to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their favorite podcast distribution app. We're on all of them. I want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. I want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak up. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.